Cruising Banner Podcast. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Cruising Banner Podcast. I am your host, Rob G. And with me, as always, is the legendary Brew Crew. What up, fella?
I would read this with you.
Mama.
Nah, it doesn't taste like dirt.
My name is Lou Belgium, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm wondering,
does Delaware have an actual culture? This is the podcast that we talk about beer, but we also talk about a lot of things that's happening in the world. Politics, movies, anything really that comes to our mind while we're here sampling these brews. Grab a drink and pull up a chair.
Ooh, we love you, Brews and Banter Podcast.
Gotta buy my drone up on this bitch. I miss you. Good time. Yeah.
What up? Welcome to Bruising Banter Podcast, where the topic is the rocking and the brew. Well, that'd be the fuel. And I'm your host, Rob G. And with me, as always, Legendary Brew Crew. What's going on, Lou?
What's up, Rob? How you doing, man?
All right. That's a heavy pour.
It's a nitro. It was on nitro.
All right.
That's why I did it on with the lights on.
I gotcha. This is episode 243.
243.
Bruising Banter Podcast. If it's your first time joining us, welcome.
Hey, guys.
I won't hold it against you for taking so long to get here.
Yes, it's been 5 years, almost six. It's okay, though. Welcome.
For our bruisers who are returning and hanging with the crew, thanks for hanging with us for all these years. We appreciate
welcome
you.
Welcome back.
As always, to show you love, you can definitely go and hit that like button, go and follow Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. Make sure you do that. We got a good show for everyone this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're listening to the podcast. And so we ain't gonna hold them too long in the green room. We have from Funktastic Meads. We have Matt Carroll. So let me bring him in. Give him a round of applause.
Welcome.
Well, what's up, fellas?
How you doing? Well, how are you?
All right.
Great. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast. Before we get into all of the things, I know you already told us that you already been drinking, so we're going to find out what you were drinking. So what are we drinking today? So what did you have today?
Fortunately, I'm blessed to be in one of the best beer cities in the country, I think. So in Richmond, I have my selection of breweries. Soon to be Funktastic beer added to the selection. But today I hit up Triple Crossing and had myself a Don Chorus, double IPA, Tiny Pills, Light Baby Pilsner, and the Winter Jet Lag, which is an unbelievable barley wine. So I put my time in before the podcast.
You absolutely did. Yes, you did.
Pre-game.
Wow.
Pre-game.
And nobody's ever pre-gamed the podcast before.
True.
That's new. That's new for us.
All right. Lou, what you drinking on?
I have the Oliver Brew Company out of, what are they? Out of Baltimore, Maryland? Yep.
Yeah.
This is called the Cuffing Season on Nitro. It's a hot cocoa-inspired nitro cream stout, 6.9% alcohol by volume. That's what the can looks like here. Cuffing Season, Nitro.
And you said that was Oliver?
Yeah, Oliver Brewing. It's the background is like a fire with their feet up. It's like two pairs of feet. So 4 feet, you know what I'm saying.
Right. Well,
it says
it's cuffing season. You gotta have at least two pair. At least 4 feet.
Yeah, at least 4 feet. Yep. At least two pair. At least 4 feet. Yep. Yep. Three feet.
The way you said it threw me off.
I was trying to figure it out too. I was messing myself up. I'm glad I messed you up. I'm glad you did the same thing. But 3 feet would be wild. Would be a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, you could have lost. But foot, possible. Yeah, you could have lost.
Yeah, foot. Possible. Absolutely possible. 5 feet. Just don't.
Yeah.
It's activated activate.
Huh? That's a good time. That might be a good time. I don't know. All right, continue.
It's on nitro, guys. So you says activate the nitro. You shake the can. I did that. Turn it over. I did that. Pour at 90 degrees. I did that. Rob said he could hear the pour. Oliver Brewing Company has been proudly brewing craft beer in Baltimore, Maryland since 1993.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's really amazing. Like I said, it contains milk sugars. This is delicious. This is what it looks like in the really, really dark stouts. That label and logo is awesome. But the beer is delicious. It didn't have a lot of head on it. I was expecting more head than this. This is how it poured with this amount.
Looks like you poured it at like 85 degree angle.
I think it was. I messed the degree up. But nonetheless, it's still it's delicious, man. I think I'm gonna enjoy this today.
All right.
I'll pass me another.
All right.
I'm curious what Rob is drinking in that baby glass of his.
I'm drinking from 2SP out of Exton, Maryland. I'm drinking the Second Street Imperial Red Ale, 7.1 ABV. There it is from 2SP out of Aston. I think I said Exton, but it's Aston, not Exton.
You said Maryland, too.
I did. A PA.
Yeah.
It must be a long day already.
It has been a long day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been my little taster glass.
That's the taster version. Yeah, Matt, that's the taster version.
Yeah, there
that's
it
the little baby, the little baby class.
That is a there you go.
Yeah, that looks nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's less red than it's less red than I was thinking it would have been though.
I don't know. I mean, how red did you want it? Like, it's not me about that. It's not really like a
blood. One more. Did you say it was an amber?
No, red. Oh snap! I read it all wrong. I'm all off. Let me start back.
Start all over. Jesus. What are you drinking? Rob, what are you drinking today?
It's an Imperial Red IPA. That's why I was like bitter. I was like, wait a minute, that's a little bitterness in there.
That's not what you said at all, man.
I know. That's why I was like, wait a minute. That's because I had a red ale in my refrigerator, so I looked at that one, but
and thinking about the red ale.
Yes, I know. I mean,
I confused you earlier. You confused me now.
Yeah, everything we can drink, we put in the can from Aston, PA. There it is. The Imperial Red IPA, Second Street. Yeah, so.
Is it still a 7.1 ABV?
Oh, yeah. It's still 7.1.
That's real.
I read that right off the can.
Sure, it's not higher than that?
Right. You said Imperial, and I feel like that's too low for Imperial IPA, but I guess I'm wrong.
No, well, because it's a red IPA. I guess. I don't know.
Does it say what makes it red?
No. It doesn't have any...
Food coloring.
Food coloring.
I'm going to assume they mixed, because they do a lot of mixing, because I think I had another one where they mixed an IPA and something else. I'm assuming they put a red ale and an IPA together, and that's what you got. I'm assuming that's what it was.
Okay.
Because they do a lot of... I had another one that they mixed... an IPA and a stout, I think, or something to that effect.
Do they mix them in Maryland or Pennsylvania?
Oh man, Matt, you right in our alley, man. Good job, Matt.
Pennsylvania.
Matt knows what this podcast is all about.
I'm gonna have to hit him with the hard biting questions.
Yeah, now you gotta take out your notebook now. Give him a notebook questions drop. You did it now, Matt.
Yeah. All right, so everybody was drinking something or have drinking something. I also got water because obviously I need it. So we want to get into find out what Funktastic is all about, who Matt is, and how he got into it. So without further ado, as they say, the proverbial floor is yours. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't exactly know where you want me to start, but I guess I'll, quick summary of my background. I think I'd like to say I'm a bit different than most other people that have entered this industry. My background, I am a chemist by training. entered the workforce in corporate America, was a business development manager for two major chemical companies, home brewing and mead making at home as hobbies. And let's see, would have been 2022, decided in October of 2022 that I was going to do this full time. We opened officially in 2021, okay. I think, mm-hmm. Or 2020, beginning in 2022. I don't know. All the years.
They run together. How about that? Running together. Huh?
Yeah. But nonetheless, you know, I did both my full-time job and the meadery for about a year or so, and then decided I was going to do this full-time. So I've been doing this full-time since October 2022. I will tell you, this is a job of love and passion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely different than corporate America. The paycheck's not the same, but fortunately for us, we've been doing really well here at the meadery, and you know, it's a lot of fun. So, you know, to take something that you were doing as a hobby and for fun, and then you know, catapult it into a commercial business.
Yeah,
definitely a lot of work, but it's really cool to make the same products we were making before, but now serving them to people and watching their reactions, and it's pretty cool.
Now we're going to get into the funktastic of the meads in a while, but when you were home brewing and making meads, like, what was the impetus to actually start and think that you could do this full time and open up your own shop?
Yeah.
Was
so
a lot of people like banging down the door to try the meads.
Yeah. So I was introduced to them years and years ago, and you know, they were, meads are in general, they're fine. I hate to say it, but most traditional meads are sort of boring.
And because of that, because we have professional drinkers and we have novice drinkers. So for people who do not know, what is a mead?
Yeah, so a mead is a honey wine. Simply put, you know, in its most basic form, honey, water, yeast. Mm-hmm. It's as basic as that. You know, for us, the process is the same as making a traditional grape wine. We're just using honey as opposed to grapes as the fermentable sugar. For us, you know, as I mentioned, you know, traditional grape wine or traditional meads are typically semi-sweet to dry, herbed or spiced. It'd be something you'd have at like a Renaissance fair or a medieval festival, something like that. And they're okay. Best way for me to describe it. And there's certainly a place for traditional meads, and I don't want to take anything away from anyone that makes more traditional style meads, but they're in the world of craft beverages, especially, you know, craft beer and the crazy shit that people do, they don't really fit. So for us, it was, you know, as soon as I was introduced to them, I was like, okay, you know, what kind of crazy shit can we do with meads? And essentially, the answer is it's endless. You can do all kinds of stuff with it.
As soon as you tasted your first meat, you were like, how do I adjunct the hell out of this?
Yeah, because it was fine. It was fine, but it wasn't like being a craft beer nerd, you know, you're looking for the newest, craziest thing. And
so you already were heavy into craft beer when you finally got to handle the meat. That explains some more.
Mm-hmm. You know, and give me a quick second here. Hold on.
Okay.
But this is a good example. I don't know if you could see that, but this is marshmallow. Yeah, so this was called marshmallow spanspec.
Wow.
And for those of you that don't know what a Spanspec is a cantaloupe. So we made one of our first meads was a marshmallow cantaloupe mead. You know, just thinking about crazy flavors, crazy adjuncts, and you know, so that's kind of from the get go. That's what we were doing, and you can see from the label this is clearly homebrew.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Having fun, just crazy, stupid shit at home. So,
Is that the official name of a cantaloupe?
No, it's just what they call it overseas in like Europe and Australia. They call it a spanspec as opposed to a cantaloupe. So, needed to be different.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate the humbleness of it. That was a medal around that bottle. Did that win an award or something?
Yeah, that was. That was a silver medal in the Dominion, Richmond, Virginia, Virginia Dominion Cup, which is a homebrew competition.
Okay. We had so many. I forgot what it was, bro.
Look, it don't even matter, man. I want to tell you about what cantaloupe called it overseas. I'd rather tell you that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So it's just, you know, for us, that's always been the focus is, you know, what kind of crazy things can we do? And fortunately, it makes meads more interesting to your average consumer. You know,
absolutely.
I would say majority of people that I say I own a meadery to, they're like, oh, cool, like ribeyes, sausages. Like, no, like a mead, like a honey wine, not God. Like a meat.
Wow.
You know, and
I never heard that.
No, oh, I got it. I get. I'm gonna have to get up for this one too.
I never thought meat hurry.
Well, I think that
this one's soup.
Yeah.
This is one of our first collabs with as a commercial meadery. So we made a mead called. Let's see here. We own a meadery. This was our collab with Four Fires Meadery in Ohio, and we put smoked bacon, vanilla, and maple syrup in this mead. Because when we say we own a meadery, people's minds automatically go to meat. Right. And it's the damnedest thing because, like, I've never heard anybody call a butchery or a butcher or a deli a meadery, but you say meadery and their mind goes meat.
Never put that connotation together that it was a meat. There's a such thing as a meadery.
I don't know that anything such thing exists, but if you say it, people think
assume it. Yeah. I think it's not active listening. So they just hear me, and they already fill it in. It's like autocorrect. They autocorrect. Oh, you meant to say meadery. Yeah, not mead. I got you. It's funny. Y'all started off with that flavor. Like, you don't even find cantaloupe and marshmallow in beer. You suddenly put this in this mead. But I think honey allows a lot of play, I guess you would think.
Especially with cantaloupe, because cantaloupe, to be honest, cantaloupe is a blasé fruit. Why did you pick cantaloupe?
No way,
you must
man.
Not think it's a blasé fruit.
No way.
Cantaloupe and the honeydew family, them melons, we can push them to the side. That's fruit salad melon.
That just means you're buying the crunchy ones.
Okay. All right. Send me some overseas, whatever you call it, overseas. Send me them melons.
Spanspec.
Yeah, send me the Spanspec melons because these cantaloupe Delaware melons ain't never hit.
I'm gonna put this on my list.
Spanspec for Lewis.
What I'm gonna sell you melon sal. I'm gonna send you melon salmalamig. That's cantaloupe and coconut milk.
Oh man,
mead you serve over ice.
That sounds delicious.
And then you on one of your future podcasts you'd be like, man, I'm ashamed to say cantaloupe is just a bitch ass fruit.
Yo, make me call it Spanspec. That's what I want you to do. Change my whole because I
you need to go to your local farmer's market and ask for a Spanspec.
I need 30 Spanspecs, please. They're like, excuse me, sir, get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna be like, get out of here pronto. That sounds delicious though.
That does sound good.
I'm not
the cantaloupe and marshmallow combination sounds good.
I kind of like cantaloupe every now and then.
You do? Yeah. Okay. Cheers to that. I can't understand, like, how you coming up with these combinations. Like, what's... What is that?
It's just, I mean, for me, it's just like how, I don't know. I don't know. How crazy can you get with it? That's, mm-hmm. you know, what I, so we're making a mead. So we're attending a mead festival called Sugar Belt, okay. which is in Crown Point, Indiana. It's an all mead festival hosted by Manic Meadery. So that's the traditional mead fest, and we're making a mead for that called King Kong Ain't Got Shit on Me, which is bananas and double stuffed Oreos. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why Nabisco hasn't made a banana Oreo, because it's a fucking awesome flavor combination. So yeah, it's just like what crazy things can we throw together that will work?
So you're just having all the traditional mead people just clutch their pearls like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah, they hate Funktastic, but that's okay.
I was about to say, how are you guys in the actual community? Like, y'all walk through, y'all are like the Young Bucks, like, damn,
yeah,
young whippersnappers coming through changing stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, in some regards, I think people are open to something new and different. You know, there you'll always have traditionalists, same like you have in beers. You know, pilsners and lagers are king, that kind of thing. Why are you putting fruit in beer? Why are you putting chocolate cake in beer? All that kind of stuff. And right. you know, I think there's room for all of it. I think if you can make the traditional beers and you can make them well, you can do any other style with no problem. Yeah. And you know that's We're not just randomly adjuncting things. We make several dry to semi-sweet meads and entered those in Mazer Cup, which is an international mead competition, and won medals with those. And they were just your basic dry melomels. So blackberry, as an example, K, which is a blackberry blackcurrant dry, we won a silver medal with this past year. In the dry berry category. So we can do the normal meads. They're just, for us, they're just not as much fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, we could do it all. So pipe down, people. Pipe down.
Yeah.
Pipe down,
yeah,
boomer.
Sure. Yeah,
pipe saw, down, boomer.
You see the silver medal for the dry mead. Shut up. And
for sure.
Limoncello.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and I will admit that I have some fun at festivals, or not festivals, at you know, like competitions like that, because most of the competitions are the judges have no idea what they're drinking or what's in the beverage, so there are no labels. Everything is sort of I can't think of the fucking word.
Anonymous?
Yeah, so all the meads are like anonymous. So they're just tasting and they're judging and based on the flavors and things like that. And
nice.
I'll admit, I throw some weird shit in the judging competition just to have fun with the judges. You know, like, I mean, this year there was a session mead category, and you know, we put a couple of normal meads in there, and then I sent a Swedish fish mead just because, you know, why the hell not? You know, you have pretentious sommeliers going through and tasting these things, and then all of a sudden they get to Swedish fish candy, and that just destroys the palate. So
sabotage.
Okay. Yes. He's a little Dr. Evil.
Yeah, for sure.
Now I'm curious, because we talked about, like, you were homebrewing and all that stuff. So why not a brewery? Why'd you go the meadery route?
Well, seeing as you guys are on episode 234 of the podcast, you gotta see that beer is oversaturated, right? Like, it's everywhere. And you know, I would say in all likelihood where you guys are, you're not immune to the same issues that we have here in Richmond. You know, there are breweries closing left and right, and you know, they're, it's a market that is oversaturated, and you know, it's a unique market. You have to do something really, really special to survive in. And for me, you know, I enjoy beer. I'm a craft beer nerd before anything. And, you know, you can just kind of see the writing on the wall. And so for me, it was, what can we enter the industry with that's unique and special? And oddly enough, you know, meads are the world's oldest alcohol that nobody knows anything about.
Yeah.
You know, we educate people every single day about what meads are and how they're made and how old they are. And yet everyone knows what a beer is.
Right. Yeah.
So, so for us, it was, how do we stand out? So, you know, now with me making the comments with regard to the craft beer industry and that being oversaturated, you know, in the next 8 days, we're going to be entering the craft beer market as well. And, you know, that's more of a function of, how do we drive people into a meadery that where they don't know anything about what's going on in here. And I'll tell you what, if you put up a couple of signs that say beer, all of a sudden people are super, super excited and super interested in what's going on. So, so we're going to make some badass beer because we can. And, we're going to use that to help educate people on meads.
Oh, nice.
So that's our driver.
Okay.
Now is it going to be in the same house, under the same roof?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So, the majority of the beer will be contract brewed for us. So we've got quite a few. Prior to me being in this industry as a proprietor of a business, I was legitimately a craft beer nerd. So I was traveling with work all over the country, hitting festivals, meeting brewers, and as a function of those travels, created and gain some really, really cool relationships. And, you know, so we're going to use those relationships to offer people some unique things brewed by other breweries, as contract breweries for us. We'll also be doing some stuff in house because we have to. It's a state law in Virginia. But two, I also very much enjoy beer. So, so we're going to do some crazy stuff here in the meadery, or brewery, whichever you want to call it. So,
right.
So I'm curious. So I think we talked about, so you decided to the start of the meadery. Why Funktastic? Like, was that the first name you landed on? Like, what does Funktastic mean to you? Like, why is that?
Yeah, so way back when, you can see the logo, right there, the FM circle with the backwards F and M. That wasn't the original logo. Original logo was like this psychedelic skull. So the term, you know, funky or funktastic fit really, really well with the original logo. And we were doing all kinds of funky shit with it. So... and then, you know, as we moved into being more commercial, you know, it needed to be, we needed to write the ship into something that was recognizable as opposed to a psychedelic skull. And this logo is pretty recognizable. It's pretty awesome too. Cause I mean, I've got, my daughter wears this shirt to school and a bunch of other little kids. And, you know, you look at it and it looks like a clothing line. So nobody questions whether the kids are wearing a shirt from an alcohol producer or not.
I didn't think about that.
So we're all in the schools.
Yeah.
They do now.
They know now. That's funny.
So y'all like the Los Angeles Lakers or the Utah Jazz? You like it was a whole different thing until you moved and shifted.
Yep.
I got you. All right. Yep. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, I see what you did. I see what you did there. Yeah. Yeah. It's no lakes in L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, no. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
There's no meet in school until Matt showed up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of... So, out of all, I guess, in terms of creating this, these incredible flavors and different things, like, so what, I guess, like, in terms of an... Like, do you do, like, a test kitchen? Like, when do you decide, like, it's ready for... to really mass market, do you like try a little bit and then and go for him, or you just be like, ah, let's go?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's, you know, we have a good feeling for what we need to do to ferment specific meats to you know, specific spots, and you know, we're just when we were on the way home from when we were on the way home from the imprint or the beer discovery. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that event?
Too hot for Graham.
Yeah, Too Hot for Graham. When we were on the way back from that, Grasso and I were brainstorming, and we have a line of meads with peanut butter. So we have no crust, which is Concord grape and peanut butter. We've got the botched no crust, which is strawberry and peanut butter. And we were just like, just thinking about it, like, hey, you know, what should we do next? And raspberry peanut butter popped into our heads, and so we've got a new label for a mead called No Crust Raspberry Recovery. So like the whole line sort of follows this trend. I don't know if you can see. Can you see the label up there of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Yeah. Oh, the scared peanut butter. Yeah.
Yeah. So the doctor is actually cutting the crust off of the sandwich.
Ah, man.
When
you put a face on the peanut butter sandwich, it looks like it's painful to him.
Yeah, yeah. So that's no crust. So we've got no crust and then botched no crust where the doctor screwed it up and there's strawberry shit all over. And then the raspberry no crust or the raspberry recovery will have the same sandwich, but it's all wrapped in bandages and stuff. So, you know, we have a whole series of meads. So, yeah, it's like we're just, you know, it's just like every single day we're talking about, you know, what's the next cool thing, you know, what should we do, you know, what's popular, you know, and you guys were at Too Hot for Graham. So you could see, you know, for us, especially for people of my generation, it's all about nostalgia from childhood. Mm-hmm. So we've got Swedish Fish. We've got All Eyes on Me, which tastes like Hawaiian Punch. The Kids Are Gone, the Lemon Sour Patch Kid inspired mead. Like those are all things that hit with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought you were about to say tastes like Tupac for a second there. Then you switched it up and said Hawaiian Punch. I was like, oh, wait.
Peace.
The Hawaiian Punch Tupac guy is on there. Mm. See him.
Yeah, that was delicious.
It's hard to see. That's a dark label.
That was good. So was the Swedish Fish one, and I enjoyed both of them. They were both Swedish Fishes. I love Swedish Fish. That's one of my favorite candies. So I always gotta anything that tastes like.
I'm not a fan of the candy, but the drink was delicious.
Huh. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Like down here in Virginia, the Swedish Fish is definitely a Northeast candy. Mm. It is, you know, it's all over the country, but in Virginia, I've met more people that have never had Swedish Fish than have had Swedish Fish, which is crazy, crazy to me.
That's very interesting. I don't know anybody who hasn't had Swedish Fish up here.
Yeah. No,
they may not like it, but they all have
I had a giant bag of Swedish Fish behind the bar because you can't appreciate how good that meat is unless you've had the candy.
Yeah, but maybe that's what it is. I was like, oh, this is just like eating the candy. It's great.
Yep. Yep.
So, Matt, on location, how many meads are available to taste? And do you do flights of your drinks?
Yeah, for sure. So right now we have 12 meads on tap. Mm-hmm. So we have two that are considered high rollers. So they're either high ABV or cost us quite a bit more to make versus our standard meads. And then we've got 10 like 10 traditional meads, if you will. And we've got flights of four, and then we've also got a flight of 10, which gets you through the entire base menu. So yeah, we definitely do flights. As far as the beer is concerned, we'll have, we're going to roll out with four beers on tap. So we'll have a total of 16 taps in the tap room.
Okay.
When is the debut of the beers?
So officially speaking, the grand opening is April 4th, okay, which is a Thursday. It's kind of a quote unquote soft opening. So Thursday is our most popular regulars day. So it's our flight night. So flights are $5 off. We always have 20 or 25 regulars that come every Thursday. So I thought it would be cool to allow them the opportunity to try the beers first. But officially speaking, the launch party will be April 6th. And we'll have, you know, we'll have food specials and a couple of stout bottles to go. We'll be doing a couple of collab releases as well. So we've got a collaboration with Fungi's Brewing from Raleigh. We collaborated on a hard seltzer with them. And then we've got a collab with Salt and Oak Brewery as well. So super excited about that one. Yeah.
What's that, the imaginary?
I was about to say that's the real fake brewery or the fake real brewery.
Well, that brewery is real as shit, man. I got labels with their logo all over it.
Nice.
So you said it'll be four debut during that time. Did you say four?
Four beers.
So we'll have four on tap, okay, and then we'll start with a toasted lager, a toasted rice lager, a fruited sour, a pastry stout, and a single IPA. And then in cans, we will have an additional two double IPAs, a Czech red lager, and then the hard seltzer. So we'll have a total of, I think it comes out to eight beers available when we open.
And that will that always be? Will it always be eight beers rotating?
I don't know. I really don't know what to expect from the beer side. So,
okay.
We're starting heavy, just to see how it goes. And then, if I would be happy if we could release one or two beers a month.
Right.
Okay. There's a lot of breweries that are releasing four beers a week, which it just blows my mind. One, they can't all be different. And two, that's just a hell of a lot of beer to be pumping out.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But like I said, the beer, while we're going to, while it's a passion project for me, it's definitely not our core business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, it'll be fun to have that on the side and see what we can come up with that's unique.
Will you ever have a beer mead cocktail where you mix one of your meads with one of the beers?
So technically speaking, it's not legal. It's not legal to blend a wine into a beer. And that's both from a federal and a state perspective.
Okay.
But I mean, there is a style of beer called a braggot.
Yeah.
Which I will tell you is, it's in my top five worst styles of beer I've ever had. But you can theoretically make a faux braggot. So as an example, you could take a sweet black raspberry mead and blend it into a stout, which is not technically a braggot because you didn't brew with the honey. But you could come up with some really unique concoctions like that. Okay. Which I think there are possibilities of doing.
He said, Yeah, it's a bragging, but I hate that shit.
Y'all heard of bragging? You ever heard of a bragging? Yeah, yeah. I hate that shit. Yes. not my cup.
I mean, all right. I'll challenge you guys. Name a bragging first. Name one, and then two. Tell me whether you liked it or not.
So I've had a bragging because we actually had it on the show. It was really high ABV. But it was from Brick Terrarian out of Georgia. It was actually not bad.
Okay,
they do a good brag.
No brewery is going for it's actually not that bad.
Well,
they don't want to hear that. They don't want that to review at all.
Well, because all his is so high ABV, so it's not really my wheelhouse. Because I can't, as a 45-year-old man, high ABVs is not my jam anymore. So that's why I said. But for some people, give it to me.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's a struggle in the beer world. I think to brew with honey is really really difficult. And they never turn out the way you want them to. Mm. That's I think my feeling.
I can imagine because it's sticky. So, I mean, honey is sticky, so it's like it's a lot to mess with.
Yeah, and then if you need a pound of honey, or how do you measure honey? Pounds or liters?
Well, I mean, we're in the U.S., so it's pounds, right?
No, pounds is weight. Liters is liquid. Gallons.
Well, it'll be pounds and gallons, right?
Yeah. Grams and pounds.
No, grams is metric system. That's the other side of the pond.
Yes. So is it weight or liquid? How do you measure?
Usually by weight, because honey it's 12 pounds per gallon versus water is 8 pounds per gallon. So it's quite a bit more dense than water, so a lot heavier.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, speaking of honey, where do you source your honey from? This is one of my hard hitting questions.
Yeah, that's the notebook. That's out the notebook right there. Where your bees come from? Where you get your bees at?
Yeah. So if I took care of my own bees, let's say, I would have no time to make mead. So we purchase our honey. We've got a distributor in Pennsylvania that is honey from all over the world. We've got a distributor in Arizona that's all wildflower honey from Brazil, which is actually really, really tasty. And then I've got a local source for honey in the name of the county is Goochland. So in Goochland County, we have an apiary, and we purchased about 3,000 pounds of honey from him last year, which is quite a bit for a small local apiary. So,
way to tickle the gooch.
Yeah, for sure.
Right up underneath it. Yep.
Yeah, it's right around the corner from Licking Hole Creek.
I believe it.
It probably is in Virginia. It definitely is.
Hey, I don't hear shit about Virginia. Pennsylvania's got blue balls and intercourse, and
that's true.
I'm from Pennsylvania, so I got you on all that shit.
Manhasset blue ball is ridiculous.
I lost my train of thought thinking about the gooch. That's what I get.
You pay for that joke. Do you guys distribute? Or is
in Virginia, there's a state run distribution company called VWDC, which is Virginia Wine Distribution Company. So we more or less the best way to describe it is we self distribute in Virginia, and then we have distribution in North Carolina and New Jersey. So those were two states that I had targeted for distribution. I would love to distribute in Pennsylvania if you can find me a reasonable distributor that can help us out, because I will tell you that's one of the most difficult things to find is a distributor that's willing to work with a small guy and bring in unique things like meads. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I would love to have the product there. It was especially at Too Hot for Graham. It was received really, really well. But making it happen is more difficult than it looks. So
I could imagine. I mean, we've heard a lot about distribution as a it's a sticky game, I should say.
I see what you did there. It also gets more difficult in Pennsylvania because we're technically wine. So we can only distribute up to ABVs up to 8.499% alcohol. And that's only our session products. So anything above 8.499 has to be distributed through the state and through the state stores because it's higher ABV. So that also makes it a little bit more difficult in in Pennsylvania. So
now, I don't know if you mentioned it, like why is it because it's the three ingredients? Why does it consider a wine? Like, why is me considered in the wine category?
It's because the federal government just placed it in the wine category.
Because it seems like it's its own thing.
It is its own thing, but the industry isn't large enough to have its own category. It's getting larger and larger every year, but it's still, it's still a minute percentage of the alcohol industry. So they lumped it into meat. They lumped it into wine, mostly because the process is the same as making traditional grape wines. ABVs, are also reflected in the wine category. So it just was an easy fit.
Yeah. All right. Now I know you mentioned. So who makes up the team? The entire team? Cause I know you just don't do it by yourself. Who makes up the entire team of Funtastic?
Yeah. So I have an assistant mead maker, Ray. Outside of that, that's it for production. Mm-hmm. Just the two of us. My wife, she likes to call herself the CFO, the chief financial officer. So she's a CPA, which is helpful. So she handles all the backside books and all that kind of stuff. And then we have three or four bartenders that will work from time to time. But I'm here at the meadery almost every day. Whether it's Monday through Friday or Monday through Wednesday, we're closed. So that's all production for us. And then Thursday through Sunday, we're open. The tap room's open, and I try to be here at the tap room as much as possible. I mean, my background is sales. So, me being behind the bar, that's my fun. Like, I really enjoy talking to customers and talking about the product and educating. And so I try to spend as much time as here as possible. So,
yeah.
So it's a small, very, very small operation. The whole meadery is 1500 square feet. So it's 900 square feet in a tap room and 600 square feet in production. That's it.
Now I get it. Now I know why Thursday is your best day, because you got them like, oh my goodness, when is going from back up, guys? You must got a mead called Pookie. You got to have a mead called Pookie. If not, you should get one.
That's funny.
I'll add it to my list.
Yeah, that's good.
Or if you take another request, what about a Chico stick mead? I love Chico sticks. I haven't had a Chico stick in a while, but that is nostalgic. I love a Chico stick. It's delicious.
Chico stick. What the hell is a Chico?
You don't even know what a Chico
stick
is?
Is that regional? That can't be regional, right?
But he said he's from PA, so it shouldn't be. It can't be that regional.
What part of PA are you from, though, Matt? Because PA is fucking
The good side, the eastern side of Pennsylvania.
Okay, good. Yeah. We'll take that.
So what the hell is a Chico stick?
It's like a peanut butter, crackery, sesame. It's a funny stick.
Oh, yeah.
It's delicious.
Like you're a 45-year-old kid. Like sesame? Who's the hell's... What kid is eating a sesame stick?
I am 45. I am old.
and not everybody... Look, like the Swedish fish, not everybody likes Chico sticks either. Ugh.
You don't like Chico sticks?
Yeah.
Nah, man. Nah, I'm not a fan of either of the candies. that you call nostalgic.
Your candies.
He's probably a big fan of Werther's Original too.
I like a Werther's. I like a Werther's Original now. I hold myself up.
Actually,
and eat a Werther's Original.
I was wrong. It's made primarily from peanut butter, cane sugar, corn syrup, toasted coconut, and natural vanilla flavor. I know you're on board now. You're like, wait a minute, this may be a great. Right.
Now that we're taking sesame seeds out of it, that changes things. Yeah.
Right, like who would even describe it as a sesame flavor?
Well, because there's like texture on the Chico stick, so I didn't know what that was. Because it's been a while since I had one.
Chico stick.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was been a long time.
Back in the day, it used to be long. Now they're little joints. They used to be a long
stick. I'm taking notes. Peanut butter, vanilla, coconut.
Yeah.
Yep. Toasted coconut. Got to toast.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
Yeah, see?
Look at that. Bruising Banner just made a mead today.
People love Chico sticks. I bet people are like, you know what? I love Chico sticks. You just didn't know it.
You like them flavors. You like Chico sticks, though. No one likes Chico sticks but Rob.
Nah, they used to be the thing. Back when they were 5 cents back in at the penny candy store.
Man, you dated just, what was like 7 years old back then?
I already said I was 45. I already told you I was 45.
I'm like, dang, you went early 80s on 5 cents, though.
Yeah, now a lot of people listening jealous, like, damn, they had 5 cent candy? That's crazy.
They got $1.50, man. $1.50
for it's back when gas was 85 cents a gallon.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
Man, we used to drive. I remember driving when it was 99.
Right. Exactly.
$13 for your tank.
I remember driving around when it was like, when I'd see a sign was like 88 cents, driving around trying to find the one that was 85 cents.
Right.
You know, like
that cheap. Like I can find, I know it's a rare somewhere.
Not anymore. Now you're like, oh, shit, I better get this. Yeah, mistake. It was a mistake.
Yeah, if you see 88 cents, somebody was drunk that made that sign, and it is too crowded.
Yeah,
it's crowded over there.
I think it happened in Pennsylvania time. I think it was an accident. The guy hit the wrong button, and he made it like 89 cents, and it was a line back.
He definitely got fired.
He probably did.
He definitely got fired. Yeah, Matt. Back to you. You said you mentioned that you guys were unique. Are you guys the only like meadery that you know doing what you're doing?
There's definitely other meteries pushing the, you know, the adjunct.
So you're not alone,
if you will. No,
that's okay.
You know, Four Fires, Manic Metery, Maniacal, Pyro, Brewly Hands, Imerium. I would say in Virginia, we're the only ones that are really pushing the flavor boundaries.
Okay.
But yeah, no. In other states, there are definitely others doing it. There aren't many.
They all have outrageous names.
Yeah,
they all have like, we're not doing regular mead. Don't come in here for no regular mead.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this: they can all do regular mead really well.
Yeah,
like y'all. I'm like, hey, we can do that too, buddy. Yeah.
I feel like you can't do the adjunct meads unless you can perfect the regular dries.
Yep. Yep, and it's the same in the beer world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you can't make a normal stout, you can't make an adjuncted stout really well. Absolutely. It's just going to be your normal crappy stout with some adjuncts in it. So it ends up being a crappy adjuncted stout.
Right. Yes.
Now, in terms of, I guess, knowledge base, like how many meteries, not just any kind of meteries, how many meteries are in Virginia? Because I know we have one in Delaware, I think, at least one.
Maybe two. I think it's one down south, but one up here. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what the exact figure is. I would guess we're in the probably 30 range.
Yeah, y'all have a state competition. So it has to be enough for that.
So the Dominion Cup, the one from earlier, that was a craft beverage competition.
Oh.
So there was a mead category.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, within 40 miles of where we are right now, there are five or six.
Okay.
So, That's good. You know, we're in Richmond, basically. So, you know, it's a bigger city. So there's more competition in the larger city in general. But in Delaware, I know of Brimminghorn.
Oh, I didn't know about that one. So
yeah, Brimminghorn's the one I know about.
I was thinking Liquid Alchemy. I wasn't even thinking Brimminghorn.
Okay, yeah.
I've never heard of it.
I've never been to Liquid Alchemy. I don't know where that is.
Okay. Yeah, that's closer to where we live at.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I have no idea where the Ramming
Brimminghorn's at. Brimminghorn's like 30 minutes outside of like Rehoboth and Bethany Beach.
Yep, didn't I say that? I said I know there's one down south. that's the southern part of Delaware. Yep. Huh.
Yep.
Yeah. Huh. How about that? Now I got not go there. No, I'm just joking. I rock with upstate baby all day. No, I'm
joking. Oh man, just sold out the bottom. Sold out. Never mind.
No, I love the bottom.
Now I was about to talk about the gooch again.
I know. That's what I said. I love the bottom. I know you're just going. All right. Any more questions for Matt?
On that note, Matt, do you have any questions for us?
I don't think so. I mean, I appreciate the conversation and the opportunity. I appreciate you guys doing this. Just remember that not all meads suck. Get out there and try them. Meads are where craft beer was 25-ish years ago, and that's something that we constantly battle. 25 years ago, you would have gone to a craft brewery, tried one, and then gone, nope, this sucks. I'm going to stick with my Miller, my Bud Light, whatever, my domestics.
Yeah.
Now craft beer, you go to a brewery, if you have a crappy beer, you go, all right, well, I'll catch a good one at the next brewery. Mm-hmm. Well, meads are back where craft beer was, like right now people go to a meadery, they have a mead, they don't like it. And they go, oh, I don't like meads. And I will tell you that
15 more years to try a mead.
Yeah. And I will tell you that not every meadery is the same. We have in that extensive base menu of 10 meads, we have everything from dry to what I consider to be pastry style meads. We've got carbonated, we've got meads served on ice, we've got meads fortified with grape brandy. So we got 6% meads, we've got 21% meads. We've got meads that taste like bourbon. We've got
you just got a cornucopia out here.
Yeah, I mean, like,
okay, you got whatever you want for it.
So this is another unique one. So this is gin and juice. You see the
yeah.
So we gin barrel aged a mead, and then added aronia berry, which is like it's a tart small dark berry. And metal foam honey, which tastes like marshmallows and vanilla. So, like, it's got floral notes like your typical gin. So, like, the juniper, those sort of floral characteristics. But then it's got some tartness from the berry and sweetness from the honey, and it's really cool. Yeah. We've got meads with boobs on them. We've got awesome collaborations, with Hobby Floppy. That's been one of the coolest collaborations for us. Did a whole series of meads, and we'll continue to do that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Shout out to Hobby Floppy. She's local.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now I got two questions because you said something. So when people, like, if somebody are new to meads, or not new to meads, but new in the area, I'm like, hey, where should I go? And they walk into Funktastic. So what should they have before they leave the establishment?
Everything.
Do the 10.
Do all 10.
Yeah.
Yep. And, so a lot of times people go, I think I'll do the flight of four. And then, they'll be talking it over amongst themselves. And then they were like, we'll do all 10 because that's the only way you can go from super dry to super sweet and get everything in between. And what's really cool is, you know, we've got wine drinkers that come in here, and wine drinkers typically only drink dries. And, you know, like, they're like, oh no, I don't like sweet wines. Well, they don't like sweet grape wines. So a lot of our wine drinkers all of a sudden are huge fans of sweet meads. But a sweet mead with, you know, a sweet mead with Amarena cherries and ruby Belgian chocolate is not the same as a Moscato. Yeah. So, you know, it's a dessert. The whole flavor profile, the way everything hits on your taste buds is totally different. So we've moved people that first came in here and said, I don't like sweet wines, to now sweet wine drinkers. Mm-hmm. Because they're drinking sweet meads, which is a sweet honey wine. Right. So
when you say sweet, it does sound like meat. When you say sweet
meat,
but all the other times, all I heard was the D.
Oh, but you heard the D.
I'm not saying sweet. I'm saying sweet.
I know. I heard sweet meat.
Not
sweet meat.
Now I think of something else. I mean, there was one meat that took over.
Yes,
too hot for the.
Yes,
too hot.
The most famous drink of the. I was wondering when we were going to get to this. I'm surprised at the end.
I forgot.
That's because we didn't have Yoda today.
Yeah,
That's why.
That's right. Why?
So Yoda brought this up 18 minutes ago.
So why? If people don't know, what is it? This dick? Is it this dick or that this, dick?
Oh yeah. This dick is delicious.
Is it? It's a question mark on it. So is it this dick or is it this dick?
No, it's this dick with a question mark. So the label. I sold the last bottle this weekend. The label has Dick Tracy on it, and yep. Dick Tracy is – there are a whole bunch of other dicks in a lineup. So he's pointing to them saying, this dick, like, is this the guilty dick?
That's what we're trying to go for.
Very clever.
Yep. It's pretty clever.
Yes.
But it's got – you know, the label has Columbo, Matlock, Magnum P.I., Sherlock Holmes. So it's got all these dicks on the label. So
yeah. Detectives, I got you.
I had no idea. I'm so glad that we spoke about that.
Did not know.
Thank you.
Yeah. So and my last question, like, is there one that you, like, throughout the time you've been doing the mead, is there one mead that people were like, you know what? Hey, how'd y'all come up with that? There's one mead that you like, people just are blown away that combination was just, I never even thought they even do that.
I don't know that there's.
Like everybody, all of them. That's what we do.
Here.
The way you phrase the question is difficult. I don't know.
Notebook. Got the notebook out.
I mean, maybe the Meat Scow Mule. So we have a line of meads called the Freshies, which are all cocktail inspired or island inspired. So they're all served over ice. And we have one that tastes like a Moscow Mule.
That sounds delicious. I love Moscow Mules.
Yes. Delicious. So that one's pretty popular, and you know, people are like, you know, why did you do this? And, you know, it's a function of, you know, things that beverages that people like and how we can recreate those, you know, and we've definitely got other meads that people are like, wow, that really works. Like the no crust, any jelly with peanut butter, people are wowed by the flavor, and that's more of a function of how we do it. So we use all organic peanut butter. So no PB2, no flavors. It's 100% real peanut butter. Mm-hmm. I'm a big stickler for that, because, you know, the only way you taste peanut butter is if you use peanut butter. Otherwise, it all tastes like some, you know, extension.
It's a chemistry experiment. It's a chemistry experiment then.
Yeah. And for us, we also have to be peanut. The use of peanut butter in mead is more sensitive than beer. You know, beer, the major issue in beer is that the oils from peanut butter kill head retention, right? So you don't get any foam, and that's an issue. And in pastry stouts at this point, pastry stouts are basically flat beers.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not such an issue. But for us, we can't have any oils floating in our meads because many of our meads will sit on people's shelves for 5 years. You know, we have the corked meads, the corks are 3 to 5 year corks. So, you know, you can't have the oils exposed to air because then you run the risk of the mead going rancid. So it's much more delicate than a beer. You know, so there's a lot more that goes into making it happen for a mead and using the real thing versus a beer, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got to stop it. Every time you say something, then I have another question.
I got more questions. I have more questions. I absolutely do. Wow. Okay.
Well, I would say this, fellas. You should, from where you are in Delaware, you're like 3 hours or so, mm-hmm. yep. 3.5. You should take a ride down.
Yeah.
Thank you for the invite. We were just waiting for you to invite us. That's all.
We were just waiting for the invitation.
Yes, that's all. Hello. On our way down.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah. See you in like an hour.
I do have one question. Then I'll be done. In breweries, they have a lot of one-offs, and you always go back like, "Hey, I wish you guys still made that beer." Are you one-offing these meads? Are we never going to get, like, this dick again?
I was waiting for him to say if you're one-offing this dick.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to put it together, and you did it better than I did.
Yeah, no, this dick will be back bigger and better.
but
you all good.
He shot his whole load. It's gone.
The reason we did this dick is it was inspired by limoncello, right?
And yes.
Typically, yes. Limoncello is made by Italian families around the holidays, specifically Christmas. So I would suspect we will do that again around the holidays.
Okay.
We don't have too many seasonal meads. It's more like what we feel like making, you know, what sounds interesting to us. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the King Calling, it got shit on me. It's been over a year and a half since we made that last. So, okay. You know, we're upwards of 200 plus recipes in meads. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'll listen to what people say and what they want. Some of the session meads, those are easier to make. So you'll find that those will come around more frequently. But the still or the traditional high ABV meads, it's kind of what's on our docket, what's been made before, what sold well, maybe from our homebrew days, what we haven't made that was interesting. Okay. So we have a coming up soon. We've got a peach habanero mead coming out. So, yeah, so like that was one that we did as a homebrew, but haven't done it since we opened commercially, which has been almost 3 years.
Is it hot as hell?
This one isn't. This one's more like balanced spice and sweetness. We do one. Yeah, we do one around Thanksgiving called the Cran Reaper, which is cranberry and Carolina Reaper peppers. That one is spicy. So
the habanero is not as hot. We won't.
No, it's intentionally more balanced.
Okay. Cool, right. Man. I'll be done now.
All right. We want to thank Matt for coming on the podcast from Funktastic Meats. Before we go, we always like to know how people can find you on social medias, the brick and mortar, the address. Like how can they find all about Funktastic Meads, and how can they get there?
Sure. Yeah. So Instagram is Funktastic_Meads. Facebook, obviously, Funktastic Meads. We're in Midlothian, Virginia. So we're about 15 minutes outside of Richmond. The best directions I can give you is we're about 15 minutes southwest of the Answer Brew Pub. Everybody knows where the Answer is. So we're not far. The address 1212 Alverser Plaza. You can find us on Untappd. All the usual places. So I do want to, if you don't mind, quickly mention that in October we'll be hosting an all mead festival.
Okay.
So I mentioned the Sugar Belt, which is in Crown Point, Indiana, hosted by Manic. We do a spinoff of that festival called Sugar Belt Beeline to Richmond. We did that last year. We had over 500 attendees, 16 meaderies. It's an all-you-can-drink mead fest, and it's at the Answer Brew Pub. It's a pretty cool event done a little bit differently. So, you know, we've got meads available. The event is ticketed, so the meads are all you can drink. That's outside. You can bring the meads inside to the Answer. Likewise, you can go inside, buy beer at the Answer, and bring it out into the quote-unquote festival. So it's kind of cool. Usually you're limited to what beverages are in the festival, and in this case you're not. So
yeah.
So tickets will go on sale on Eventbrite in May, probably around May 18th or so. So
What were the dates again?
So the date of the event is October 19th. The tickets will go on sale May 18th.
All right. Hey, October
19th. We may be able to make that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool. I couldn't ask for a better partner in the Answer. You know, like it's something that definitely attracts, you know, the best craft beer family out there. And allowing us to do an all mead festival is pretty cool. So,
and I can't wait to taste Chico de Mead. Chico de Barge, get it? Chico de Mead.
Exactly where you were going. It's all right.
All right, Lou, how can they find you?
Man, I'm on them Instagrams, and my name is Lou Belgium.
And you can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Bruising Banter Podcast. You can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can even say, Alexa, play Bruising Banter Podcast, because we are on Amazon Music. Shout out to IM302 Yoda. You can check them out there on IG. You can follow me, Rob State Bruising. There it is. Beep, beep, beep. You can go to www.bruisingbanter.com if you want to. The link is live, so you can get merch. If you want to check out some of the swag from our Bruising Banter, you can definitely go out there and get some. Once again, we want to thank Matt from Funktastic for coming on for episode 43. And until next time.
Have a good week, everyone.
Yep. Peace out, guys.